Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Do you love horror stories or weird fiction? Enter Meltopia, a new world of horror fiction. Meltopia is a podcast that features horror, dark fiction stories, and series that take place in the same strange universe. Listen to the Shepherd of Wolves series, where a killer who used the bones of his murdered family as weapons is lured into a dark and mysterious game. Discover the Lost Journals and Tome series, which explores the many strange events and people of Meltopia through first-person accounts. Or tune into the Weird Book Show, which examines bizarre structures and histories of Meltopia through an in-story podcast of its own. All series and stories intersect and influence each other, providing horror lovers an immersive experience sure to reach the top of their playlists. Just search for Maltopia, Maltopia, a new world of horror, on your favorite podcast platform.
Whether it be sightings of flying humanoids in Europe, or creepy run-ins with alleged Sasquatch in North America, these creatures seem to be lurking just about everywhere possible. Just when you thought you were safe in your home, something lurks in the shadows. These subscribers sent in their allegedly true encounters with cryptic creatures that will freak you out. If you have a story you'd like to share, be sure to send it in to swampdweller.net or the email in the description you can find down below. One last thing before we get into these tales that will freak you out. My good friend Southern Cannibal helped me narrate some of these stories today. If you enjoy his voice, be sure to check out his channel, as he does a lot of creepy stuff over there. Now, let's get into these stories. I'm going to start off with some background information. I'm a 21-year-old male who grew up in a rural area, on a small reservation about an hour northwest of Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. Growing up, I lived with my grandmother who was very in tune with the spiritual side of life, and was very well respected by our community. I spent a lot of time in the woods hunting and camping as a young man, and was fully aware of spirits and how some were good, some were bad, and there existed creatures out there that defied explanation. Now, at the time of this story, I was somewhere around 17, I think. It was summer break, and I went down to my reservation to visit my cousins, who were like siblings to me as I'd grown up with them. My older cousin had some alcohol, and altogether, there were 7 of us who gathered on this warm, beautiful summer night. The night was clear, the stars were out, and the moon was in full view, as we had fun joking, laughing, and listening to music, and just being kids, really. While a lot of us drank that night, I didn't drink much because my mom would have kicked my ass if she found out I was drinking. My cousins, however, were getting more and more drunk by the hour. It was about 12:30 a.m. when I got a call from my cousin Ben, who said he wanted to come down too after hearing I was in town. He told me he'd walk toward us and meet us at the crossroads. Me being the only sober one, I rallied everyone together for the long walk, which I hoped would sober them up a bit. As we began walking down the old dirt road, I began to feel that something wasn't quite right. It was very quiet. Too quiet. The only real noise was coming from my cousin's drunk, obnoxious voices. Which was pretty off, as normally there are frogs and all sorts of things around at night making all sorts of noises. Again, I tried to tell everyone something was off, but drunk, they brushed it off and laughed. We were about 40 meters away from the crossroads when I saw it. A giant creature, hiding by the underbrush of the trees near the crossroads. It just stood there, staring at us, hiding from the streetlight in such a way that if you weren't paying attention, you'd have missed it. this was the first time I'd ever feel a real shiver down my spine or my hair stand on the back of my neck. It seemed as though the creature was waiting for us. I stopped dead in my tracks and stared, afraid to move. The creature stood about 7 feet tall, was bipedal and humanoid. It had what looked like to be bull legs and a long tail that stuck out. But its upper half almost looked human. It wore a long black trench coat. At least that's what it looked like. Its face was that of a bull's, with black fur all around and glowing eyes. I've never felt so afraid for my life. After what seemed like hours, which was likely only minutes, of staring at this thing, my cousin stopped and asked me what was wrong. I didn't reply, and they began muttering in confusion until my eldest cousin, Joe, said, Guys, look! Pointing at the crossroads where I was staring, my cousins all looked and finally saw the thing. We all freaked out, and my fight or flight kicked in, at which point I turned and ran as fast as I could away from the creature. I didn't dare look back to see if we were being pursued. I just kept hauling it, until we were all the way home. Upon finally arriving at the house, we all stared at one another silent and afraid. I soon called my cousin Ben to let him know we decided to head back to the house instead of meeting him at the crossroads. The strangest part was, he informed me he never called me to meet up, and that he was in the city of Edmonton spending the weekend with his girlfriend. This really tripped me out, and I checked the call log to see if he'd called, at which point I realized his call never logged to my phone. I was thinking, what the heck? This is really weird. This is where the story ends.
I live in Hungary in a suburb about 30 to 40 kilometers from Budapest. Despite the local stories about such, I've lived here for 12 years and never really in stories of paranormal phenomena. About a year ago, I was working in a PC shop franchise store, and about 5 kilometers from where I live was one of the shops from our franchise. Normally we work from 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. for about 5 or 6 days a week and then we're off. But it was early December and people are nuts that time of year with shopping, so I was working my 8th straight day of work and also overtime. Closing the store at the end of the day, I jumped into my car and began to drive home. There's two roads that can get me home. One is the main road, which is constantly filled with traffic jams, and the other is a back road with nothing but woods on one side and a field on the other. This road was in very bad shape, and as such, virtually no one would use it for fear of destroying their cars or tires. At this time, I was still driving my first car, which was a really banged up 97 Opel, so I didn't really care about damage to my car. There were no streetlights on this road, and as such, my car's lights were the only lights visible at the time. You need to understand that this is a road I've traveled hundreds of times by car, on a bike, and on foot, and I've never seen anything out of the ordinary here. This night, however, I saw the coolest thing ever. There was a flock of birds rushing the road, and even though I didn't care much about my old junker, I was traveling slow on the road as I didn't feel like walking home on a December night because my car broke down from my carelessness. I've always been a city boy, but had basic knowledge of how wildlife could hurt you if you were careless, and there's laws against killing certain animals, even accidentally. Because of this, I stopped to let these birds cross. I had been listening to my headphones as I don't have a car radio, and I know this is dangerous to do while driving, but I figured I'm on a road with no one else, so it should be safe. So I was debating getting out and taking one of the birds as a pet. It was at this point that I realized they weren't birds, they were tiny owls. Realizing this, I didn't take any of the birds, as one, they are protected by law, and two, where there are kids, there are likely any parents lurking nearby, and the last thing that I wanted was an adult owl attacking me. Deciding to just watch the birds and with my headphones on full blast, I suddenly believed I heard something. Taking off my headset, I listened closely, but I heard nothing. At least at first. Just as I was about to put my headphones back on my head, I heard the most otherworldly screech I've ever heard in my life. It was high-pitched, but also like a growl, if that makes any sense at all. I was scared shitless, but then I thought maybe it was a mother owl trying to scare me away, or another predator. Keep in mind, I'd never heard an owl screech, so I didn't know if this is what they did. The moment this thought crossed my mind, I somewhat relaxed, thinking that maybe I'd been overthinking things. It turns out I was quite wrong. The next thing I saw, only for a split second, has been burned into my mind forever. Something flew down and snatched at least one of the owls and then went back into the air. The creature was bipedal and grabbed the owls with hands with long claws on them. The creature was also lean, muscular, and had huge bat-like wings. It landed at one point in a crouched position, but even sitting like this, it was huge. I never saw its head, but from the side, it looked as though it had short black fur. In a large flapping noise, it instantly vanished into the night. I saw some snow dust from where it vanished from, and the entire incident lasted maybe a few seconds at most, but it instantly put me into panic mode. I floored it, and my only thought was that I needed to get out of here now. About three huge bumps later, though, I slowed down, and again, not wanting to be stuck walking in the cold or out in the open with that thing lurking around. When I finally made it home, I attempted to logically think out what had happened. I didn't have a logical explanation, however, as I wasn't sleep-deprived. I also didn't drink, and I didn't do drugs. To this day, I have no idea what that thing was, and I've never shared my story with anyone else, not even family. I no longer work where I once did, and so I have no reason to use that road again, nor would I, especially at night. If anyone else has an idea of what this thing could have been, please let me know.
Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. It was last summer, and I was at a bonfire at a friend's house with a good friend of mine, Mike, his wife, and their four kids. The adults were drinking beer around the fire and the kids were playing on the trampoline. Everyone was enjoying themselves that night. Eventually, we all gathered around the fire after playing a game of tag with the kids. Mike and I were talking around the fire when we heard what sounded like a small puppy crying. "Do you hear that?" Mike asked. I replied, "Yeah, sounds like a dog or something in the woods." "I bet it's a coyote pup," Mike said, while motioning to the woods behind him. The night went on and continued drinking and talking while collecting more firewood for the fire from the woodpile. An hour goes by and we could still hear what sounds like a puppy crying. Eventually, I rose up, grabbed my cane, and got a flashlight when Mike asked me, "You gonna go check it out?" To which I replied, "Yeah, it's bothering me. Besides, it might be a pup and that would be kind of cool." I walked about 100 yards from the group towards the forest. Then I stopped, listening to my surroundings, hoping to pinpoint where the sound was coming from. It wasn't long before I started hearing it again. I walked into the woods about 20 yards, when the sound suddenly stopped. I stopped as well, listening closely. Maybe 30 seconds later, I hear the sound once again. This time it's about 20 feet in. It sounds like it might be in front of me, in this brush. I turned the flashlight on and started scanning the area, hoping to catch any reflection of the eyes. This was an extremely bright flashlight that lit the whole area around me, but I never saw any eyes. Still, I could hear the whimpering though. I knelt down and tried to beckon it, with kissing sounds and a soft voice, much the way one might call their own puppy or dog. Still, nothing. A few seconds later, out of nowhere, with no sound or movement in the woods, I heard the whimpering again, this time 20 feet to the left of me. I was thrown, as it's impossible for something to move that fast without making some kind of movement or noise. There were tons of leaves, so it should have crunched at least that. I shrugged this off, rationalizing maybe there was more than one puppy, before continuing my search. After a few more minutes of trying to coax the puppy out of the bush, the sounds jumped to my left again, about 15 to 30 feet away. At this point, I'm quite perplexed by the situation. What the heck is going on? I grumbled to myself. That's when the sound jumped back to the original spot I heard it from, upon beginning my search. As I'm searching, confused, I suddenly hear a loud screech bellow out from the tree above me. This sound was loud, angry, and like nothing I'd ever heard before. Looking up, I saw this thing only for a split second before it jumped to another tree. It was a man-sized creature with arms and legs, no hair, and had very grayish, pale-colored skin. The thing was very thin, and just didn't look natural at all. After it jumped to the next tree, I tried to give chase, but when I arrived at the next tree, there was nothing. There was no movement in the trees anymore, and I tried to listen for any sound, but still, nothing. Mike and a friend soon showed up after, having heard me shout earlier. They asked if I was okay, and I attempted to explain to them what I had seen. While explaining this, I saw movement in the trees and I immediately checked it out. In the tree was a black mist that soon turned deeper into the forest. Shortly after this, one of the women screamed, asking if we had seen something. I asked her what she'd seen, and she explained there was a black smoke that shot off unnaturally into the woods. I can't say for sure, as I never found it or witnessed it again, but I believe what I saw that night could have been a Wendigo. I believe it was mimicking the sounds of a puppy to lure in one or more of the children to the woods. I live in a neighborhood surrounded by thick, dark forest in East Michigan. We often get all kinds of wildlife out here, but something is very off about the woods themselves. The woods are very dark, even for woods, and always get this feeling of eeriness when I go near them. It's like I'm being watched by something. One night, something quite strange happened that I'll remember forever. I was out in the yard and it was getting dark, which I didn't really think much of as I love sitting out at night, watching the stars. That's when I was overcome with an overwhelming fear of being watched. Looking towards the woods, I see what looks like a 7-foot-tall, unnaturally skinny person. A feeling of curiosity overwhelmed me and I walked towards the creature at first. That's when the figure turned towards me, but it changed. I was now looking at a buck with huge antlers. I thought I was going crazy, and stood there, lost and confused as the deer went into the woods. The thing never took its eyes off me as it did this. A few months go by, and I basically forgot about the incident until one late winter night when I awoke about midnight feeling an intense panic. Looking towards my window, I saw it. A 7-foot-tall thin figure. From what little I could see, it seemed like an emaciated human, with the face and muzzle of a deer. It had long, unnatural arms that ended in clawed hands. What was I even looking at? The thing eventually slowly moved away from the window, at which point, my fear subsided. The next morning I checked for tracks in the snow, but there were only deer tracks, nothing I could really claim as out of the ordinary. I was maybe 3 or 4 when this happened. I grew up in Shallow Water, Kansas. It's a quiet town with not many people living there, back then and far less living there now. I was in my grandmother's front yard playing in the dirt, when on top of a school across the way I see something hunched over out of the corner of my eye. It was too small to be a man or woman, and I seriously doubted a child would be up on the roof. I looked at it for a couple of minutes and noticed it was tall, black and looked to be eating a small animal of some kind. It had red eyes, and I could see this thing plain as day. You know how gray aliens supposedly look? Its eyes were large like that, but red. I also remember the thing had a large mouth. Eventually, the thing noticed me, stood up and jumped off the stool and slowly walked towards me, never losing eye contact as it did this. After about the fourth step, I ran inside screaming and crying. Unfortunately, that's all I really remember. Apparently, according to my dad, I was screaming and begging him and my grandpa not to go outside because of the black creature. My grandpa loaded his Remington 870 with slugs and headed outside anyway. He eventually found tracks heading north about 15 feet before they simply disappeared. The tracks had three long toes with short and sharp nails. I've only been back to that town once since I moved. It was a few months ago and I still get that same feeling as I did as a child. It feels like something is there, watching me from a place I can't see. One final thing. My father told me he was talking to my grandma a few weeks before the initial incident when they had medium-sized footsteps on top of the house that eventually landed on the AC unit outside of the home, damaging it. He claims whatever it was couldn't be human as his footsteps were too loud, too heavy, and moved too fast. He stayed up the entire night, shotgun loaded but found nothing. I never found out what the thing was either, and refused to go back to that town, unarmed, ever again. I was 15 years old when I went to my grandparents' house in the middle of nowhere, Nevada. There was nothing but desert for miles, and I'd heard from an old desert rat that we'll call Jay about Indian folklore and Wendigos. I was amazed by his story of an encounter with one, and the folklore in general. Still, up until the point of the story, I still didn't really believe in such things. Late one night, though, it was pitch black, and I was outside the back of the house looking at the stars. It wasn't long before I heard something shuffling around the garage. I looked back and saw my granddad, but I couldn't shake this really bad feeling. He told me to come find him, but something in his voice wasn't right. Saying nothing, I headed in and asked my grandma why my granddad was in the garage with no lights, at which point she gave me a weird look before going back to washing the dishes. I soon went into my living room, and much to my horror, there was my grandfather, laying on the couch sleeping. I went to bed soon after and was awoken at about 1 in the morning to the sound of footsteps and this awful decaying smell outside my window. It was open because there was no AC in the house. The fact that the only thing separating me from whatever was outside was a thin screen in the window really was not comforting. I tried to chalk it up to my imagination going wild, and maybe being an animal or something. But then I heard more footsteps, and I could tell whatever it was standing on two legs. I thought, okay, maybe a bird. But then I heard more footsteps. The strides it was taking were too heavy and too long to be a bird. Whatever was out there suddenly started running back and forth in front of the house before finally stopping outside my window. Hearing this made my heart sink, and I was overwhelmed by the smell of rotting decay. I finally gathered the strength to look up, and that was a huge mistake. I realize now that I was staring directly at this thing. It was tall, skinny, had patches of dark fur, and the head of a deer. The antlers it had looked like that of a deer on one side and the elk on another side. It tried speaking to me and telling me to go outside, but its voice sounded as though it couldn't put any real emotion to its words. I screamed and without thinking grabbed my hunting rifle before blasting through my window. My grandparents naturally came rushing in, and we heard a yell out back. In the 10 seconds it took us to get out back, we all saw him. This thin, unnaturally long-legged thing. And then it was gone. Nothing, and I mean nothing, can move that fast. This incident haunts us to this day, and we never go outside after dark, nor will we ever again. I live in the UK, and we don't have many dangerous animals here. My dad works on a farm, where they have a big problem with foxes and rabbits, which we hunt, by the way. The most effective way of hunting these animals at night is through thermal and night vision. One night, when I was about 12, we were out shooting. This was about midnight by this point. We were on the way back home. We scanned the field and saw nothing until we reached a point roughly 50 yards from us. I could see a dark shape, and assuming it was a fox, I got ready to shoot. It was then, when it stood up, I realized it wasn't a fox. The creature had a long tail that curled up at the end, a short face, and stood about 4 feet tall. I was pretty sure it was a cat, and a big one at that, but we don't have these in the UK. This was confirmed when the animal turned its head and stared straight at me. It was a big cat. It started crouching and slowly made its way towards us. I had watched a few documentaries, so I knew that the animal was now stalking us. I was frozen solid and the hair stood on the back of my head. I don't usually get scared, but I was terrified as it was around 20 yards away now and it lunged towards us. I snapped out of my daze and then moved the shotgun down before firing. I heard a screech, almost human-like, that was very loud. I knew I hit it, but it ran off. My dad switched up on the head torch he had and we moved closer. I could see quite a bit of blood on the ground. We didn't find it that night, but I know it's probably dead. And before someone says I'm cruel or evil, it was me or my dad or that animal. So, yeah, that's my story. We never saw anything like that again. But still, I continue to go shooting at night multiple times a month. It all started with a camping trip that I had been planning with some friends of mine. We all live in the Central Florida area and we planned on going north a bit to camp in a free site that we found. Unfortunately, one thing led to another and I was the only one able to get the time off as it was in December, and becoming more and more difficult to get vacation time. I didn't let this stop me as I wanted to go camping for years now, and this was the best shot that I had. The plan was to only stay for 2 nights. I would head to the site, set up camp, my friends would join me for the first day and I would be alone for the rest. When I got to the parking lot, I talked to an older man named Stanley, who was a retired park ranger who had looked after the campsite. He gave me directions to my site and went over a few rules, like no unattended fires, no loud noises after 10 p.m., and to leave the spot as clean as you found it. After I got my tent and table set up, I decided to visit the two neighboring campsites. It was about a 10-minute walk to the next site, either way, so it would help me waste some time before my friends got off work and joined me. My neighbors to the west of me were an elderly couple that were packing up just as I arrived. The neighbor to the east of me was a man in his maybe mid-40s. His name was Pete. Pete was an odd-looking fellow who was dressed in an open shirt-sleeved Hawaiian shirt with no undershirt and a massive beer gut hanging out, tattered cargo shorts, and flip-flops. This year, our winter was pretty warm, so this didn't really surprise me. After introducing myself, we shared some beers and talked for a few hours. I asked him, "So what brings you to the woods this time of year?" And he replied, "Squatching." I laughed for a bit and noticed he was serious. He said that Sasquatch, or skunk ape as they're called in Florida, live in the area, and he has a few caramels set up here in the heavily wooded areas behind both of our campsites. After talking for a bit more, my friends texted me, and so I thanked Pete for the beers and told him good luck to his hunt. After my friends had left for the night, I decided to pack it up at around 10:30 p.m. I snuffed out my fire, entered my tent, and began to drift off to sleep. In a somewhat strange way, the forest almost becomes louder at night as the sound of crickets and owls fill the night. I found it very relaxing and it helped me fall asleep. I was soon awoken in the middle of the night, and it was strangely silent. No crickets, no owls, not even the occasional nightingale. Just silence. Then I hear it. It started as a low howl and ended up as a sharp whoop. Now, I have heard coyotes before, and their howl is much too high-pitched for this to be some sort of coyote. My heart started racing. I had never heard anything like this before. After what felt like an hour, but was probably only a few minutes, I hear a loud crack as it sounded like someone took a branch and cracked it over a tree, followed by several loud cracks following it. I heard of Sasquatch using wood knocking to communicate, and this is definitely what it sounded like to me. Has anyone from the North Florida or South Alabama, Georgia area ever heard a similar sound? It sounds like a skunk ape to me, and I bet they definitely live in this area. My story is kind of short, but a really strange one. When I was maybe 8 or 9, I had never experienced anything strange or unexplainable. I never believed in ghosts or ghouls or anything like that. But one night, all that had been thrown out the window. One night after me and my mom had gotten back after a long shopping spree, when we got home, I helped unpack the groceries, and then joined my mom for a movie. At around 8:30, my mom told me it was time to hit the hay, and so I did. I sprawled out of my bed, my mom came and tucked me in, and before I knew it, I was asleep. Now this is where things get a tad strange. I had woken up at around 12:30 in the morning. I opened my eyes and examined my room until something came in contact with the trees outside my window. For a while, I just stared at them until I noticed movement. I just stared at what looked like a hairless demon squirrel of some sort slowly and unnaturally crawling down from the top of a tree. I rubbed my eyes, not believing what I was seeing. But when I opened my eyes, what I saw was horrifying. I will now try my best to describe it. It looked like a hairless squirrel with an abnormally large head compared to its body. Its limbs were lanky and distorted with legs that went back just like a bird's. It was skinny to the point where you could see bones, and it was pretty pale and gray. I started hyperventilating as this thing was looking through all of the windows in my apartment complex while positioning itself on a branch. Then, its eyes met mine. But they didn't look like eyes. They looked like empty sockets where the eyes should be. It didn't seem to have a mouth, and two slits for a nose. I hid under my covers for about 5 seconds, then looked back and it was gone. I ran to my mom crying and stuttering my words before telling her everything that had happened, but she didn't believe me and chalked it up to just being a bad dream. But I know what I saw. I am now much older and have told my friends about it, and they all somehow believe me. I don't know what I saw that night. Maybe it was just a dream, or maybe it actually was real. Or maybe it's just some kind of misconception or something. I don't know, but I don't want to ever see it again. About a year ago, when I still had my learner's permit, I was 16, so I was a late bloomer when it came to getting my license. I asked my dad to ride to town with me. I wanted to buy some Taco Bell after having plans canceled at the last minute. Because, you know, who doesn't eat their feelings? Anyways, on our way back, it was pitch black out. The lights I had in my car at the time were awful and pretty much just useless, even the brights. Because of this, it was almost impossible to really see anything, unless it was at least 2 or so feet in front of the car. The road to my house is way out of town, and the houses are pretty scarce. I was only about a mile from my own house when suddenly, just in view, a small creature clumsily sprinted across the road. I knew I hadn't imagined it, due to my father yelling, "What the heck?" at the sight of it. The creature had the shape of a baby pig, no tail, no ears, and the legs of a fawn. It had no fur, and its face shape resembled that of a horse skull. If that makes sense anyways, I was pretty shaken up from witnessing it, but I tried to forget all about it. I didn't think to look up the creature. I tried to look it up online, but I just can't find anything. The closest thing is something from a Cree Wikipedia page, and it's called like a Managishi. They are mostly commonly known in Cree folklore. I don't know much of anything about it though, so if any of you guys are Cree and can help me out, please comment below. If you enjoyed these creepy cryptid encounters, be sure to hit that like button as it helps this video reach more people. If you're new to the swamp, why not subscribe and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day on all things natural and supernatural. Much thanks to my friend, Southern Cannibal, who read story number 2 in this video. If you enjoyed him, please check out his channel and give him a subscribe. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video. And remember, send in your creepy stories, whether it be with cryptids or anything else, at swampdweller.net or the email that you can find in the description down below. This channel runs off submissions from people just like you.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.